Okay, here's what we're going to do tonight. First, we are going to go through everybody's questions on all of the assignments from beginning to end. And then at the break time or so, the first break, not the second break, we will go upstairs and do stuff. And if you're done, lucky you. You can do what you want. You can go upstairs and surf the internet, or you can go home, or you can go over and have a submarine sandwich, or you can help the others. You can help Armin, who's struggling right now. Like I say, you've got a couple nights, so you're doing fine. I have complete confidence that you'll finish. Okay, so, questions on assignments 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, yeah, that night you missed? We came up with a new assignment.
That was a secret pass-fail assignment.
You're supposed to write an applet that creates those little ads that come up that are so annoying. Yes, I'll start with Noel because he's been patiently waiting.
I figured I'd wait to go around it, but can you pass a variable in color? I mean, a vector?
Can you pass a vector as an argument?
Yes.
Of course, just like any other data type.
I'm having problems. I have problems.
Did you make the argument vector type?
Yes.
And what problem did you have with it? What was the error you got? Now, if it says variable vector, it means you misspelled it or you didn't parenthesize something correctly. If it says can't find the vector data type, it's because in the class where you're passing it as an argument, you have to make sure to import java.util. Okay, then it's got to be capital V vector, and then little z is the variable. You can't just say, so you did everything right and the compiler's malicious.
But I just wanted to make sure that...
Yes, you can, yes. Any data type can be passed as an argument.
And a method.
That's where your arguments are passed, in methods. All of the data types, all of the classes can be used as arguments. They can all be returned. Yes?
In those demos, can you go over again how your code works in reading the data into the array and then using it?
Read info? I'm using what now?
Using T=person integer.parse again.
Oh, yeah. That's actually pretty straightforward.
I don't understand, first of all, where your first line in your data is defining entries you have in your array, and I'm telling you where you use that at all.
Capital L or little L, I can't remember. Okay, that's the integer class. ParseInt is a static method. Why do you know it's a static method?
Because
I don't have an instance of integer. Okay, so ParseInt is a static method, takes a string argument, and returns an integer. So it takes this string and interprets it as an integer, which I can then assign to an int. I can say int n equal integer.parseInt. That string. So in my data file, for example, I have the number 4 at the very top of the data file. That reads that number as a string. This method converts it to an integer. I assign it to n. Then I can say person array p equals new person array n. Now I have 4 people. And then I have the data. I don't know if it's 4 or 5, whatever. I keep changing it, but that's the way you use that. This is how many people are in the file. That creates an array for the people. And then I have a while loop where I go and I read what kind of person it is and their data.
And all it is doing is reading the first line of your file.
That's right. That reads one line. Then the way the file is organized after that is person type, name, address, city, state, zip, that's for the person class, and if it's a student, it's followed by ID number. Or if it's a teacher, it's followed by class list. And the readInfo method for person does nothing. The readInfo method for student does that. The readInfo method for teacher reads that list. So basically, I go through a loop and I say, what kind of person is it? Get their name, address, city, state, zip, call their read info method. If it's a person, it does nothing. If it's a student, it reads that. If it's a teacher, it reads that. That's the polymorphic method. Then when I do display info, it does name, address, zip for everybody. And if it's a student, display info also displays the ID number. If it's a teacher, it also displays the class list. Yeah. If you have abstract methods, you're not allowed to create a new object, but you can do the get instance of, like we do for number format. Number format is an abstract class, but you can create a single instance of it to do a single kind of job. Right. If you have any abstract methods at all, then the class is abstract, whether you like it or not. The old Java, if you didn't put the word abstract in, it put it in for you. The new Java gives you an error that says it has to be abstract. Switch case. Well, switch case, basically, it's a fancy if. When you say switch value, in this case it would be p type, then case 1 equals new person, case 2 equals new student, case 3 equals new teacher, whatever order they were in. So it's just an if. It's like saying if P type equals 1, it's a new person. Else if P type equals 2, it's a new student. Else if P type equals 3, it's a new teacher.
And where is it defined that then says, if it's a person, it has 3 lines of data to read
it? Okay, in the person class, the person constructor, the very first thing it does is read those 3 lines of data. So whether it's a person, a teacher, or a student, it's going to get those 3 lines of data, regardless. I don't have the code in front of me, so I'm just guessing where I put it. Where did I put it?
Yeah, no.
No, read info is blank for a person. Right, but so the data for the person must be got in the person class. Once again, like I say, I don't have the code in front of me. You have the code?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Well,
so
it'll save us having to use a computer.
Which one it is, then it says it goes here to read info, and then that sends it to the
right, but if we go to... Yes, let me just see. Okay. See, in the person class, the data are red. Dun, 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 dun. These data. When
you said
CI in person, if student and teacher extend person. So when I say new student, it makes a new person. And the first thing a person does is read those three lines. And the first thing a teacher does is read those three lines. Because everyone has those three lines.
I go to the person class and it extends such student as in the class of the class.
Yeah, it goes to its constructor. Remember, the superclass constructor is called automatically. The ones that are common to all kinds of people get read there. The readInfo method, this line of code, that's the polymorphic line. Depending on which kind of person is in the array, it will call either the person, the student, or the teacher. The person read info does nothing because they have no more info. The student reads that, teacher reads that. So that should answer that question for the several people who have asked me in the last 2 days, what's so polymorphic about this? That's one of the lines. What's the other line? You know it's going to be T sub I something because that's the array of people. And any methods that I call are going to have to be polymorphic because I don't differentiate between what kind of person it is. So anywhere where you see T sub I dot, that's polymorphic. And there's a display info or display something. It should be right after read info. Somewhere there is a display something. Get display is what it's called. Okay. And that get display gets the panel. Right. Get display gets the panel that has the information in it. Read info sets the panel. Here's what you have, is you have a window. And then in the window, there's a panel. When I create a person, the person fills in both. And the person creates a panel that has those text fields in it. When I make a student, the student adds one more text field to that panel. If I make a teacher, the teacher adds a list of classes to the panel. Get display gets the panel after it's been put together. Read info builds it. Get display displays it. So this returns a panel, and I don't think that returns anything. That just goes out and does some work. Right there. The person array. This is a person array. The switch case that she was talking about is where you choose between one of those three kinds of people, and then those two methods are polymorphic. The first one builds the display. It doesn't build the display for the person. That gets built in the person constructor. This just adds something to it. And then I also took advantage in the code of showing the super dot, what you call the super class method. Super dot goes out and actually builds the display for the basic pieces, and then you add something to it as a student, or add something to it as a teacher. It's an invisible frame, right. A ghost frame.
Right.
And they're interchangeable, right? So you can have many different panels, and then whichever one you choose to put there is the one that gets displayed. You can actually put one on top of the other. In fact, there's even a card layout, which is an interesting kind of layout, where the components stack up, and then you can tell it which, they're like index cards, and you can tell it which cards you want to look at. And it just uses, well, it uses displayable components. And each component is a new layer. And then there's another thing, there's a tab layout in the swing classes that actually puts them up with tabs that you can click on to pick which one you want to look at. Oh, there's so many things to do in advanced Java and so little time to do it.
At some point, there's a way to do this with the content that I get.
One that has the font metrics too, isn't it? Yeah, this is how you do it. This is the name of the font, the style of the font, the size of the font. These two are, that's it. And there's our font expert right back there. Yeah. That's what shows it. That's in that handout, right? G dot drawstring after you set the font. G dot set font, G dot drawstring. I thought we did that last night. I did that last night.
We did. It was so obvious I didn't write it down and I couldn't make it
work. No, but I wondered what he was doing back there. That must have been the snoring I heard.
We can omit the font name, right? I mean, what one of the forms of that would be?
Is just the style and...
Style.
Yeah, and you can also do get font and find out what the font is, and then the font class has all of the pieces of the font in it available, because these are all settable properties. What did you do tonight? Okay, other questions? Which is? Yeah, which...
Checkboxes?
Well, you're looking for item state changed, right? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. I have that. And then every time I choose from the first two, it will always put the one on the third one.
Well, remember, if they're check boxes, not radio buttons, you have to test all of them. Oh, it's a choice, not a check box. Oh, you have three choices? But you can only choose one at a time.
Yeah. But if I choose from one, it'll still whatever is on three, the third one, is the only one that's going to print out on my panel. So that's two times.
Well, yeah, but do you have a test that says if E dot get source equals choice one, else if E dot get source equals choice two, else if E dot get choice?
Yeah, I have a system out to print line, and I can.
I'd better look at it, yeah, because it should only, the state change will only happen one at a time.
Yeah.
Right? As soon as you do something to one, no matter which one, it's going to call item state changed.
Yeah.
And item state changed, you have to figure out which one got changed. Okay. I don't know what you mean by it picks up the. What'll print hot?
The canvas.
Ah. Well, we have to look at the logic that you have of how you're reading those, because where the canvas should actually be getting its text is in the item state changed routine. Okay. What's that? Yeah, but he's doing it with three choices, so he wants to know how to make sure that he can get it from the thing that he actually chose, rather than getting text from a choice that he didn't choose. I'll have to see the code because I can't imagine what it does, but it must be special. I hope you've erased all of those commented out lines so that I don't have to go through those. Sorry, but you aren't the only one. There's several people who have that. You know, you just hate to have typed something in vain, so you save it all. Yeah, it makes the printout very thick. And it's hard for me to I'll just let you know, it's hard for me to follow when I'm trying to go through the assignment, because I have to go, how long is this commented out or not, or see what's this doing here, this wouldn't work, oh I see it's commented out, and so on. So I have an email. Yeah, my email isn't actually, I have BB edit, so I guess I could use that to read your email, or you could just comment out the old stuff. And yeah. Well, if you change something in assignment 3 to make it polymorphic, just print that little bit up. You can say, this is what I added. I'll actually figure it out. But it's nice to know that you actually know what you did to make it work. Some people make them work by accident. It's true, they do. And some people actually designed their program to be that way right from the beginning, and all they had to do for assignment 8 was change one word.
Object.
It's supposed to be the easy one. The object. Yeah, the variable has to be the superclass type. You can't say person P equals new object. That'll get an error. You can't. Doesn't work backwards. Other questions? You guys are anxious to finish all this up tonight, right? Let's go. We'll surprise George. I told him tomorrow night we'd be up there at 6:30. I didn't know what time we'd be up there tonight, so hopefully he's up there to let us in. But if you all go up there together and say, I'm right behind you, he'll let you in. Okay? So let's go ahead and do the work. Ronnie, stop. I'll catch her upstairs. He wants to know if he can go have dinner. You mean to a specific line?
Yeah.
And you know the line number? Well, if you can somehow know, then you just go read till you get there. Otherwise, you have to create a direct access file where every line is the same length. Then you can tell it which record. But then you have to know how to make a direct access object and all that. It's easier just to read it till you either find something that's a tag.
Or you do skip, right?
Well, you can, yeah. But then you have to know which one line you're after. And doing a skip is the same as saying read line for 5 times or whatever. Let's get the 6 line.
Read the whole thing as an array or something.
Or a vector, then you can look at the pieces.
Okay. On mine, I have my choices on the screen, and in the text field, they put in the letter of what they want. Okay? So when they press enter, I say, take what they type in and put it into this string, text input. Then I read in my data file. That's my how many entries are in my array. And here I say, what I want to do is, depending on which entry they pick up the screen, would depend on, like here you did 1, 2, 3 for teacher in your file.
Right.
I want to say, if it's a
D or a D.
Or a D, if these entries, it would be a history class. Or
so then you'd say, whatever it is equals new history.
But right here, because all I did was I said system print that I have a match, and that never happened.
That's because you're comparing a string using the double equal operator instead of the dot equals method.
Okay.
I told you guys about that.
I know, tell me again.
That's a string, right?
Yeah.
Double equals is only for numbers because, or it can be for objects. What it's doing is you're comparing the address. And because this is a variable and that's a constant, they'll never have the same address. So this is how you do a string compare.
Okay.